abroad, and I was determined to live every second, day and night. On the fifth day, like all other days before, we were down at the beach playing bits of football, rugby. It was mid-afternoon, and the beach was alive with families, children playing, running in and out of the sea. The sun was fierce and hot, and when it became too much, Roy and Marcus ran into the sea to cool down. I'd already been swimming earlier and knew how refreshing the water was. Seeing them go, I suddenly craved that moment when, head underwater, my body would recover from the heat. I chased after them, dodging the children making sandcastles on the flat, wet part of the beach. I ran into the sea until it was waist high and then, as I had already done hundreds of times that week, dived in. But this time, as I came down, I crashed my head onto the seabed. Opening my eyes, I found myself floating below the surface of the water, face down, my arms hanging lifeless in front of me, unable to move anything from below my neck. The silence of the sea piercing my ears was the most terrifying sound I've ever heard. I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe, and even though it was only a matter of seconds, it felt like forever. I was scared and helpless, swearing over and over, desperate for a way to stay alive and catch a breath. I thought that was it for me. I heard Marcus ask me if I was okay. I heard Hugo shout, "Fraze, stop messing about, catch this," as a ball hit the water. I needed to tell them I wasn't messing about, and just managed to turn my head slightly to one side, a minute movement that both saved my life and irreparably changed it, and get my mouth half out of the water to say, "Help me." I heard Hugo shout to Marcus, and together they dragged me through the sea onto the beach and laid me down on my back. By this time, all my mates were standing above me, their expressions unable to hide their panic. "Sorry guys," I managed. "I think I may have ruined the holiday." Before they could say anything, I felt someone take hold of my head, telling me not to move a thing. Two English guys, ex-rugby coaches as it happens, had seen me being dragged out of the water and had come over to help. They lifted and slid me very carefully onto a bodyboard and covered me with towels to stop me shaking from the cold. Stuart, who introduced himself while holding my head, told me calmly and firmly not to panic, that it was probably just a compressed neck and that an ambulance was on its way. He asked me if I could move my right hand, and I found that I could. Later, I was told this was my body in spasm, the movement totally involuntary. The strange thing was that at first I wasn't really panicking, and it was as if everything was happening in slow motion. I could still hear the sea, could still hear kids splashing and laughing, could still feel the sun on my face. But as the minutes ticked by, and I still couldn't feel a thing, couldn't move a muscle, I was overcome with terror. I had a parallel vision of myself, getting up and carrying on as before, while at the same time being rigid with the realization that something very, very bad was happening. Then things moved quickly. The paramedics arrived, put my neck in a brace, lifted me onto a stretcher and took me to another part of the beach, where a helicopter was waiting to airlift me to hospital. My friends ran alongside me, and I asked if Marcus could come with me, but he was held back by the paramedics. By this time I was panicking out loud, not yet numb from the trauma, and if it hadn't been for the paramedic who held my hand and talked to me all the time, her broken English soft and kind, the journey would have been a whole lot worse. She told me that I was doing great, breathing for myself, and that I was going to the best hospital in Lisbon, where I would be seen by the best doctors, and that whatever was happening, it would all be okay. As I was learning, the kindness of strangers is a wonderful thing. Just as you see on TV hospital dramas, my trolley was...